It's time for The Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's The Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston. If you would like to join us this morning, the phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. That's how you get through and talk to us about your car problems, whatever's on your mind on this Labor Day weekend. Hopefully you're relaxing a little bit. We were predicting about 35.5 million people, and we, by meaning AAA, was predicting about 35.5 million people will be traveling this weekend, and you might be sharing the road with a lot of them. In fact, most of those people, about 30.5 million of them, will be traveling by car, so you may see a lot of people if you're heading up to the Lakes regions in New Hampshire, you're heading down to Cape Cod, you're heading west out to the Berkshires, you may see a fair amount of people on the road with you. It's probably spread out between this morning and this afternoon, and then probably pretty heavy on Monday on the return trip, between I would guess between 2 and 7 or 8 o'clock at night, somewhere in that time frame, you'll probably see a fair amount of people on the road. So you might try to do your best. I was watching television this morning, and nationally they were saying, yo, you might want to get going by noontime. So My little trick is I always try to leave while everybody else is having dinner. So enjoy the afternoon, and then when people decide they're going to settle in and have that one last burger or whatever it is, that's when I tend to want to pack up and get out and head back home, if that's my plan. On today's program, we have a couple things going on. Of course, we'll be doing trivia a little bit later. And a little bit, we'll be talking about the car that got me around for the last couple days. And that's a pretty interesting car. It happens to be a Mercedes-Benz. Not often I drive a Mercedes. And we'll be talking about that in a little bit. And around the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Herb Chambers. You know Herb Chambers, the car dealer, one of the largest car dealers in the country. But more than just a very successful car dealer, he's also a real car enthusiast and somebody who started off not in the car dealer business. So I thought that was pretty interesting. We'll talk to him. We talked to him a while back, and also he has one of his Chambers Cars and Coffee events, and I think that next weekend we'll be talking to him. This is also a big car sale weekend. A lot of people try to promote that they're going to be having some big sales, and we'll have to ask him about that too. In fact, one company is having some big sales. Is Factory 5, the people that make the Cobra kit cars and a variety of others, 33 hot rods. I got a note from Dave Smith. He's the president. He says every year Labor Day signals the end of the season and the beginning of fall building season. Kids are back in school, summer vacation is over, and it's time to build your Factory 5. As I commonly do, I gathered the crew to see what specials they want to put together this fall. One big change has been our large investment in tooling and inventory to solve our Hellebrand wheel shortages. Now with more than $200,000 invested, we can celebrate in-stock conditions of our wheels and make them a big part of the fall special. Check out some great deals. He says, we'll have three models on display at SEMA, the specialty equipment manufacturers show that goes on in Las Vegas, with updated front ends and engine choices. Production is scheduled to begin in a few weeks. And that sounds pretty interesting. But he has, order your 33 hot rod today and score a removable hardtop and a power window kit for free, which is about a $2,500 option, or get a free set of new Bonneville soft flat style wheels in gray or black, or take $1,500 off any of the options, so about a $2,500 saving. You can do the same thing, about $2,500 off their regular Roadster, and you can order the Roadster now and get a free set of wheels, the Hellebrand 15-inch wheels or 17-inch wheels, stainless steel exhaust, chrome roll bar with grommets, assembled side louvers, wind wings, sun visors, and again, a $2,500 savings just about. And so that's pretty interesting. So you can build your that car. You can also build a 289 Roadster and get a free set of period correct wheels, about a $1,000 option, or take $1,000 cash off the price of that car. So a lot of things going on. And then, of course, he has his GTM supercar, and you get a bunch of carbon fiber parts for that. So if you are considering building one of these Factory 5 hot rods, you can, you know, if you're going to do it, it looks like you can save some money. And his latest car is the 818. There's no discount on the 818, but there is an all-new coupe that's coming out. They had a Roadster style. The 818 is the one powered by a Subaru engine, and it uses, you can use a Subaru WRX engine, which is a high-performance engine all by itself. So you can, if you could find one of those somewhere and be able to put it in this car. And the new one is a coupe, so it's a great-looking little car. And that looks pretty interesting. We'll have to talk to him. We had him on the program some time back, and he was having his summertime open house, which is always a big deal going on down there. So we'll have to talk to him. And how often do you get to talk to a guy who is a automotive enthusiast, loves what he does, considers what he does to be an assemblage of? He almost considers himself almost like an investor. You take a lot of parts that are worth a certain amount of money, and then what you do is you combine them together and build something that is worth more money when you're done. And sort of an interesting concept, the way he thinks of it. And I believe probably the only automobile manufacturer in New England. So kind of interesting. So maybe we'll talk to him in a bit. If you own a Nissan, it may have been recalled. Nissan North America is recalling 300,000 small cars over concerns that an interior trim panel near the accelerator pedal could trap a driver's foot, possibly causing unwanted acceleration or delay in braking. The recall covers nearly 300,000 2012 to 2013 Nissan Versa subcompact cars, the model year 2014 and 15 Versa notes. The recall is expected to begin mid-October, and Nissan dealers will modify the interior trim panel in question. The recall stems from an agency investigation into the issue that arose last year after it received a small number of complaints about the issue. Initially, Nissan considered it to be a safety defect, telling NHTSA it was unaware of any accidents related to the trim panel trapping the driver's foot. Nissan said that there were no warranty claims for the issue and that there were a number of complaints that it received about it amounted to just 0.0031% of the number of Versas produced, according to an investigation timeline posted on NHTSA's website. During the investigation, the agency received additional complaints of drivers getting their foot trapped by the trim panel, including one that resulted in a crash in which the driver sustained minor injuries. Last April, Nissan began a service campaign to modify the trim panel and create additional clearance between the accelerator and the trim panel while maintaining it still didn't consider it a safety issue. NHTSA then elevated its investigation in June, and Nissan decided in August to reclassify the service campaign as a formal recall. Owners or potentially affected vehicles who have not yet serviced their vehicles will get a new recall letter and are encouraged to contact their Nissan dealer for a remedy. Nissan spokesman said in a statement, Nissan is committed to high level of consumer service, safety, satisfaction, is working with this dealer just to provide a good experience. Separately, NHTSA upgraded an ongoing probe into seat sensors in Nissan and Infiniti vehicles that can malfunction and possibly prevent frontal passenger side airbag deployment in a crash. The investigation covers nearly a million 13 and 14 Altimas, Pathfinders, Sentras, Leafs, and the 2013 Infiniti JX35, the 14 Infiniti QX60, the QX50, and the 2013 Nissan NV200 and taxi vehicles. Nissan says a faulty software code in the occupant classification system, which regulates airbag deployment based on the size of the person riding in the passenger seat, may misread the weight of the passenger and deactivate the airbag. So this is where computers really come into play. NHTSA has received a combined 1,200 complaints about the problem, including two received by Nissan reporting a crash and one injury. Most of the complaints contend that the passenger airbag indicator seat light remains on, indicating the airbag is deactivated when an adult passenger sits in the passenger seat. Well, I remember hearing this. I got a letter from one of our readers or listeners, I don't recall which, and they said their wife was fairly light. I think they said she was under 110 pounds, and sometimes she gets in the car and the airbag light is on, and sometimes she gets in the car and the airbag light is off. And I had a very similar thing with my personal car, my little Hyundai Santa Fe, that the passenger seat, sometimes you sit in the passenger seat, and I throw my bag that I carry with me everywhere. In the seat, and it would shut the airbag off. Other times, a person would sit in the seat, and the airbag light would come on, indicating that it wasn't going to work in a crash. In that particular case, they replaced the sensor. It wasn't a software issue. It was just a sensor issue, they said. But, of course, when you replace the sensor, you probably have to reprogram the car's computer to let it know there's a new sensor in there, which may make some changes. So after that was done, that seemed to correct the issue. And the person that wrote into me or called into me said they were concerned because of what would happen if they got into a crash and the airbag was off. A valid concern, certainly, because airbags can, as much as some people are petrified of an airbag deploying in a crash, an airbag can also help minimize injury and potentially save your life. And the story always been has been that if you wear your seatbelt, you're going to be that much safer in your car. And if you have a car with an airbag system in it, front and side airbags, you may be, in fact, 10 to 15% safer. So the person was concerned that if they did get in a crash, their wife would be injured because she wouldn't be protected by the airbag. And my sentiment was, well, yes, that is true, but always make sure you wear your seatbelt, which I'm not totally sure they always did. And because the airbag by itself is really just a supplement to the restraint system, a supplement to the seatbelt system. So you need to have both the airbag and the seatbelt working together to help minimize any problems. And I seem to remember at the time, Nissan said to this person, well, that's just the way it is. Some lighter people, it misreads it depending on how you sit in the seat. If you tend to sit a little bit forward in the seat, if you tend to sit, if you slouch a little bit, it may misread it. And now they're saying, well, that isn't the case. It's actually more of an issue with the idea that, well, there's something wrong and it's defective. So, just something to be aware of. The Registry of Motor Vehicles hired a new person for running the state inspection program. Maybe we'll have to have her on the program one day. Mary Jo Griffin is the new Director of Vehicle Safety and Compliance Services. Mary Jo joins the RMV from her former position as Director of Public Affairs at Middlesex Community College. Well, maybe she's done a lot of this public administration stuff, which is all what the registry is about these days. She will be working hard with the team that works on the inspection program. There's going to be a new inspection system beginning in late 2017. She'll also lead the team as it continues to oversee current inspection programs, school bus inspection programs, and licensing of 7D school buses. Those are the buses that are not yellow. Those are the ones that have the yellow plate on them, but the bus itself is not yellow. So private vans, taxi looking vehicles, and things like that. So I'm due to go to a meeting in a week or two, I believe, for the state inspection program, and maybe I'll get to meet her and say hello. So there was a lot of people who have left the registry over the past couple weeks, I guess, as far as retirement and all that sort of stuff. So it's good to see somebody new. The person who was there before was Judy DePriel, and she was a longtime registry employee, a very nice person. Sort of started off as a school bus driver, so when she got into doing school bus inspection, she really didn't know what she was talking about, and a very nice, and again, a very nice person, and she was always at the meetings, and we always seemed to get along pretty well. So there are some new things that are going on, and be interesting to see what that's all about. Also, when I was looking through the newsletter, this inspection newsletter that goes out, it's called Inspection, and this was the fall version of the inspection update. And who do I see when I flip through the, I have got it in an online version, but who do I see when I flip through the online version of it? Junior D'Amato. They did a little owner profile of Junior's Automotive, and some of the questions were, what services did Junior's Automotive Engineering offer? They service both foreign and domestic cars. He does a lot of diagnostic work, check engine performance, diagnostic problems, as well as regular brake and service maintenance. It says, what are your roles as an owner? And he says, I'm a hands-on owner. I do everything from opening the door at 6 a.m. each morning to complete shop oversight of everything that goes on at our shop. They have two locations, one in Hyde Park, a 10-bay shop that serves Boston, and one in Middleborough, where he's probably... Well, I don't know if he's listening today, but he's probably there today. Knowing him, he is. He never stops working. The location started as a 4-bay shop, and within a year, they doubled the size to 8 bays, and they're a full inspection facility down there too. So you can go get an inspection sticker at both places. They have 4 employees. Each one of them communicates directly with each of their customers. Richie Riley, who's been there forever, he's been there for 35 years. Bob Lawrence, been at the shop for 30 years, as well as some technicians in training and another full-time technician. And his wife, Carla, well, she's there a lot, too. She takes care of the paperwork, payroll, and all that sort of thing. His family owned the shop in Hyde Park back in the 1950s. It was actually a gas station. And he went to Newton Vocational High School, which I don't think exists anymore. And he's been coming into the shop for about, well, his whole life, as far as I know. He is always there, too. I think when he used to host his radio program, I think twice I filled in for him because I think his mother may have passed away, and I think I did the show for him then, and I think one other time. And other than that, he always there on Saturdays, always working on Saturdays. He's either working in the shop or working at home. He's just a nonstop guy. He talks about his online, his training. They always get additional training. Are you a registered repair technician? Yeah, he's been that for quite a while. What's your most challenging repair, vehicle repairs? And he says, on a lot of GM vehicles, especially those with the V8 engines, there are a lot of random cylinder misfires. Recently, a vehicle had a random misfire, and we ended up using a dollar bill to see if the tailpipe would suck it into the pipe to identify a weak valve condition, which turned out to be the case. Then we did it through valve cleaning and straightened out a misfire problem. So as all this electronic technician, all this electronic equipment, sometimes you go back to the basics. And that's one of the things that I was joking with Chris Oxner at Sullivan Tire one time about engine diagnosis. And sometimes you have all the greatest equipment in the world, and sometimes you don't. So you have to sort of, and I don't remember if it was him or me who said it, sometimes you have to think you're trapped in the woods and the bears are coming to get you, and you have to come up with a solution. So you may use something like, well, let's see, is the engine actually not always exhausting the way it should? Can a spray bottle with water in it be used to identify a spark plug lead that's misfiring because it can arc out when you get it wet? Spray it on the exhaust manifold. Does it steam up on, if it's a 4-cylinder car, over 3 but not over the 4th? Well, that could indicate a misfire because that cylinder is just not getting as hot as it should. Can you do some basic checks just to see what's going on? Yeah, you can. There's a lot of things. And he also said, how do you advertise your business? Well, we do a lot, but thank you for this. He says, whenever in doubt, just call your AAA office and ask for a list of approved auto repair garages. We're on that list. It's a great choice for motorists because the work performed by these repair shops carries a nationwide warranty. Well, it carries a 12,000-mile warranty, which is going to be changing to, I believe, 2 years and 24,000. I'm a little away from the approved auto repair side of it now, but I believe that's coming up with as people renew their contracts with us. And most of the time, the parts companies are supporting it, so it makes it pretty easy. Why don't we take a quick break? My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, or you could be listening online at WROL Radio or TuneIn Radio. You can find us there as well. And you can find previous programs on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher. I think that's it. Just Google Car Doctor Radio, and maybe you'll get me. Maybe you'll get a guy in New Jersey. But either way, you'll get one of us. And you can listen to Automotive Talk. My name's John Paul. This is AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston.
WROL Boston.
It's hard to believe, but the fall season is upon us, and it won't be long before, well, you know what, starts to fall. So Sullivan Tire and Auto Service is paving the way with an enormous company-wide sale on all tires in stock. Save all September long on thousands of famous brand-name tires. Get set for the fall and winter driving season. Buy quality road-gripping snow and all-season tires at the best prices of the year. Sullivan Tire is your full-service maintenance center with over 100 certified master technicians standing by to keep your car running right. We do it all. Factories, exhaust systems, brakes, batteries, belts, wheel alignments, and so much more. For details, visit SullivanTire.com/60years or call 877-592-TIRE.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan of the Sullivan Tire Company. For over 60 years, our family has been servicing New England motorists. Thank you for trusting us with your vehicle and letting us grow alongside your family.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
My name is Ann, and I'm debt free for keeps.
1-800-758-5360.
When it comes to your car, AAA is the place for everything automotive. From buying a car to taking care of your vehicle on the road, AAA is the expert you can rely on and trust. If you're researching and buying a new or used vehicle, the AAA Auto Buying Program is a great tool. AAA members receive guaranteed pricing on new and used vehicles and save an average of $3,000 on new cars. When it comes to financing your purchase, look to AAA for competitive low rates. Once your vehicle's on the road, AAA Auto Insurance protects you in the event of a crash with excellent coverage and competitive rates. You can even purchase an extended warranty that will help cover you if your vehicle is in need of repair. For repairs or maintenance for your vehicle, AAA has an extensive network of approved auto repair facilities. If your windshield gets damaged, AAA Auto Glass can repair or replace it. And when you really need help on the road, AAA Roadside Assistance is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether you need a flat tire changed, a dead battery jumped, or a tow. So for everything and anything automotive, go to AAA.com/everything auto.
The great molasses flood of 1919, they were there. The Prue pierces the skyline, 1964, they were there. 2004 Boston baseball reigned supreme again. They were there. They were there when Storrow Drive opened in 1951, and when the first flight landed at Logan in 1923, they were there. They've been here for 100 years of Boston, uniquely Boston, City of Boston Credit Union. Membership's open to anyone living or working in Suffolk or Norfolk counties. And when it comes to loans, when you need a loan, there's no place like City of Boston Credit Union. They are there, there for you. Home loans, vehicle, tuition, energy, and personal, City of Boston Credit Union, 617-635-4545. City of Boston Credit Union is NMLS number 403469, equal housing lender. Visit cityofbostoncu.com for more. City of Boston Credit Union, uniquely Boston.
Now, let's get back to the Car Doctor, John Paul.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Well, it's probably time I talk about the car that got me around the last couple days, and it's not often that I drive a luxury performance hot rod roadster, but this was just the case in the Mercedes-Benz SL63 AMG. This SL is powered by a twin-turbocharged 5.5-liter engine that develops 577 horsepower, and even more impressive, 664 pound-feet of torque. It's connected to a 7-speed automatic transmission with paddle shifters. The cabin has really a lot of room in it, beautifully crafted inside. All the knobs, switches, and buttons all have this like substantial feel to them. The seats are wide and supportive. There's enough adjustments that the seats can be made sports car tight with plenty of bolstering or more relaxed. There's also a massage and an automatic bolstering feature to keep you in the seat on tight turns. I guess if you drove the car that way, it would be handy. It's weird if you don't. You go to take a corner, and all of a sudden, the side of the seat sort of lifts up on one side and kind of holds you in place, almost like you would if you were taking a tight corner in a performance car on a racetrack, and you braced yourself with your foot. So, kind of interesting, but something that is just an interesting added feature. And the massage part, I guess it's kind of shihatsu massage or something, so it sort of takes all the lumbar support and moves it up and down, up and down, up and down, which I don't really care for, but maybe some people do. There's enough leg room for an NBA player. You can, I usually, whenever I get in a car, put the seat usually just about all the way back. All the way back is too far back. So I think somebody easily, in the, 6'8" range could probably be pretty comfortable inside. Plenty of room top up, top down. The trunk is good size with the roof raised, but becomes better suited to soft-sided bags when it's lowered. There's sort of a cover that fits over it, so you need to sit everything under this, hard sort of padded cover, and that way the roof can fold down because it is a hard top roof, not a soft top roof. So it's a hard top roof that folds into the trunk, and it does this dance where the back comes up and the roof folds and it all goes back down. Unlike the first SL I ever drove, this one actually has cup holders, which the first one, I remember the first one I drove it out at the Pocono Raceway, and I came around the track with it. And it was the regular Pocono test day. Came around the track, and certainly I got back, and the German engineer said to me, "Hey, how'd you like the car?" And I said, "There was no place to put my water bottle." And he said, "You Americans, you want to do everything but drive." And sometimes that's the case. Well, we'll go into that a little bit more, but with us on the phone, Herb, good morning, and welcome back to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. You have another Cars and Coffee event coming up pretty soon, right?
We do, yeah. We have one on September 12th out at my dealership in Sudbury, which is BMW. And then we have the last one of the season on October 10th, and that's at the new Lexus dealership that we have in on Derby Street down in Hingham.
So you have a couple more events, and you always have some of your own pretty cool cars there too, right?
Well, I try to send up one car for each event. Not that I have a lot of cars now. I had a larger collection. I'm down to only about maybe 12 or 15. But, the last event we had, I think I had a Shelby 500 there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to each month send up something different.
Yeah, and I think that makes it good for people. And you know, you said your collection's down a little bit from what it has been, but you're a real car enthusiast, though, right?
Well, I'm car crazy. I mean, yeah. I've been that way since I was a kid, and I'm very fortunate to be able to be in an industry that I like. You know, the products that we sell so much, and to me, it's not really going to work. It's going to play every day. So.
Well, I started to say I don't often get to drive a luxury hot rod, but for the last few days I've been driving a Mercedes SL63 AMG.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's a tremendous performing car.
And yeah, it made the commute to work a little bit nicer.
Makes it shorter.
It did that too. Yeah, exactly. And you know, one of the things, you know, a lot of people think, you know, when they hear the Herb Chambers name and all of your dealerships, they think you're a longtime car guy, which I guess you've been in the business a long time, but you didn't start that way, right?
No, I actually took a job when I got out of the military. I was in the Navy for about 4 years, and when I got out when I was 21. And went to work for a company in Cambridge servicing copy machines. And then after a couple of years, I started my own copier company, not building them, but repairing them and selling them. And that was, I think I was like 22, 23 years old. And I did that for about 15 years. We built a company that was the largest in the country. We had 38 offices from Washington, D.C., coming up the East Coast, and about 1,400 employees. And a Fortune 500 company by the name of Elko Standard wanted to purchase my company, so I sold it to them, and then I made the transition into the automobile business. But it was kind of by accident. I actually went to buy a car, and I had a terrible experience with a dealership in New London, Connecticut, and wound up buying the dealership as opposed to buying the car. And that was the beginning of what's now going on.
That sounds like the kind of sort of, I guess, classic entrepreneurial story that you went in. And what was it? It was an owner who didn't really want to be in the car business, right?
Exactly right. I mean, you know, you could feel it when you walked in. The place was very unkept. The salespeople weren't very motivated. In fact, they weren't motivated at all. It was a terrible sales experience. And, of course, my background has basically been repairing equipment and selling. So I was very disappointed with them, and I asked them if the owner was around. They said no, but he was out to lunch, and I said, is he coming back? They said, yeah, he might be back in probably about a half an hour, maybe an hour. So I asked if I could wait for him. They said, sure. He came back in, and I asked him. I said, you know, it looks to me like you really don't like what you're doing. He said, I don't. So I said, well, I think I'd like to have this business here. Could we sit down and talk about it? And he said, sure. And about an hour later, we had made a deal, a handshake, and we were off. But I was fortunate because I actually had to go to General Motors. It was a Oldsmobile Cadillac dealership. And they said that I wasn't qualified to run the business. And I said, you know, I've been running a business with 1,500 or 1,600 people. Why can't I run a business that's got 25 or 35 people? And it's a sales and service business. Mm. They said, no, you have to have the experience. That I was able to recruit a person who did a great job for me for a couple of years. I purchased him out in... he went on to have his own dealership, and I went on to acquire more dealerships. So if I had the wrong partner in the beginning, I probably would have said, this is not the business for me, and wound up doing something else.
So after a couple of years, finally GM trusted you?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. and as I seem to remember a story that you told that when you got out of the military when you were 21 or so years old, you were actually, there was two jobs you were interested in. You couldn't find one of them. That's how you ended up in the copy machine business?
Well, actually, I went to work for my mother, and she had inherited a bar room on what was in Tremont Street in the South End. And I went to work for her for about 3 months, and there was a miscommunication in the family, and basically she fired me. So I then had to look for a job real quick.
Your mother fired you?
Yeah, well, I still have psychological scars from that.
I guess.
But anyhow, we kissed and made up 6 months later. And I got out the newspaper, the Boston Globe, and started looking for a job. And one of them was to repair conveyor systems in the Dorchester area at a factory. And I went in there and spent about an hour. It was so noisy and so forth. I said, this isn't for me. And then I had this opportunity to take a job repairing what they called photocopy machines. And at that time, you know, not too many people even knew what they were.
Yeah.
So I got that job and went into sales and then started my own company, as I say. As a matter of fact, when I started my own company, I started with $500 that my mother loaned me.
Well, it's nice that you made up then, so she could lend you the money to start the business. Yeah, yeah. And were you always, as a kid, were you always car crazy? I mean, I kind of miss, and I guess I'm just about old enough to remember that it was always a big deal in the fall that car dealers would kind of cover up their windows and there would be the big reveals when the new models came out. And I guess I kind of really missed that. But were you a kid that enjoyed that?
Oh, absolutely loved it. And it built up this this mystery about what the new car was going to look like, and the cars, when they were shipped to the dealers, were all covered so you couldn't see them. And it was a big event. And unfortunately, that's kind of gone by the wayside. And I think it's because of the internet and things like that, because people have an opportunity to see the car probably 6 months to a year before it even comes out.
Yeah, you're right. There's no secrets anymore with the internet.
Everything's
out there for people, so they can see it. But you were somebody who kind of waited for the paper to come off the windows when you were a kid?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Positively.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. You know, it's a funny thing today, because I go to automobile manufacturers' meetings all the time, and I probably go to at least 15 or 20 of them a year. And when they're showing new models, they don't want the dealers that are there to take pictures of these things, so they'll ask you to check your cell phone before you go into the meeting. And it's pretty crazy, because you give them the cell phone because they're afraid somebody's going to take a picture and leak it to the press. Meanwhile, by the time you get home, you pick up or go online, pick up Road and Track, and all of a sudden you see a picture of the car that you just saw a couple of days ago. But, you know, it's just communication today that it's tough to keep a secret.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you have, you know, plenty of dealerships, just about every make and model of car for sale. And how much of what you did with your copy machine company, where taking care of customers and trying to deal with, you know, both sales and service related issues, how much of that translated into the car sales? I mean, I guess somebody smarter than me said, you know, we learn everything that we need in life in in kindergarten or something. But how much of those early days with service and sales kind of translates into what you do today?
I'd say 100% of it. And the first thing is that it's, you know, choosing the right people to have be working with you in your company. That's the most critical thing. You've got to hire the right people. And then you have to also retain them. And they have got to be trained properly. But foremost is, whether it's a copy machine or an automobile, you've got to focus on the requirements of the customer and pay attention to them. If you look at the automobile business today, whether you purchase a Honda from me or you purchase it from one of 20 other people, the car is all the same. So why should people choose my dealership to do business with? And the only way that we can make the difference is through our people. And we have to keep them focused and motivated and excited about what they're doing, and instill great integrity with them. So those basic elements of the automobile business are the same elements that I had in the copier business.
Yeah, it really is, and you're right. There, you can almost, you know, if you set a $30,000 budget for yourself to go car shopping, you probably couldn't make a bad decision today buying a car. There's a million $30,000 cars out there, but really, you know, when people come to me and ask me for car buying advice, I always say, you know, why would you buy a car from somebody where you didn't like your experience when you walked in the door? You have to have a good experience. That's what makes it worthwhile.
Well, it's that experience that sells a person on the first car. Mm-hmm. It's the service and backup that gets them back again for the second car. And so it's not just the sales organization. It's also the people, the service writers that deal with the customers when there's something wrong with their car. It's the amenities of going into the dealership, that they're clean and that the people are responsive and that the dealer lives up to what he tells them on the sales floor. You know, if there's going to be a loaner made available, then there has to be a loaner available when they come in. If it's a brand that or a dealer that doesn't do that, then they can't say that, because what you're doing is just setting up failure.
Right. So it really is that under promise and over deliver sort of.
Absolutely.
Idea.
That is it in a nutshell. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I always hear. And again, I try to tell people that, a Honda Accord's a great car, a Ford Fusion's a great, there's a lot of great cars out there, but you really need to have that relationship with the dealer. And like you said, when you come in, you know, the sales story is one thing, but you're right, it has to be backed up with the service end of it to really make it worthwhile and make it good. It should be fun buying a car. It shouldn't be, what do people say, you know, they'd rather get a root canal than go car shopping, but car shopping should be a good time, right?
Well, you're spending a lot of money. You should have a good time, and you should be able to take your time. And, you know, for us, it becomes critical because my name is on most of our dealerships, of which there's 55 of them.
Hmm.
And it's a ripple effect. If we don't do a great job at our Honda dealership, why would you ever want to come to me to get a Toyota or a Ford or a Chevrolet or a Chrysler?
Hmm.
So everybody has to have the same mantra where everybody does it the way that I want it done, which is to take care of the customer. And there's an incentive for all of our people to do an exceptional job. And each one of our general managers, about 25% of the income is based upon customer satisfaction. So it's a huge thing. And they're there. Everybody does it the way that I want it done.
Mm. So you never want to replicate the original Cadillac Oldsmobile dealer down in Connecticut?
That would be my biggest fear.
Yeah. So you always want to again, and I think part of it, and you just hit on it. They all have your name on the building, or most of them have your name on the building. So you have this personal responsibility, and you know, and people will tell me who buy cars from your dealerships. They've run into you here and there at different dealerships.
Well, you know, I try to get around to the dealerships. I wish I could do it more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I live in Boston during the week, and I'm out in restaurants every night. And the majority of the time, I would say, I don't remember the last time a customer came to me and said that they had a complaint about something. No, I do remember that. It was probably about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a brand that was a luxury car that they could not get parts for the car. And it was something that was not our problem, but if we can't get parts, it is my problem.
Yeah.
So other than that incident, I hear people say all the time how pleased they are with, you know, their experience in doing business with our company. And I hope that they don't tell me that just to, I don't know, make me feel good. I don't think that they do. But my people really try so hard every day. And not that we don't have challenges, because we make mistakes like everybody else in business does, but the question becomes, how do you rectify that mistake? What do you do with the customer and try and make things good again? So it's more than just giving them a free oil change.
Right. And I guess to some extent you want to always hear from your customers. Like you said, your general managers, you know, part of what they do is based on, or part of their income is based on the customer experience, and you want to hear from the customer because they're I don't remember who it was, but I think it may have, you know, it was one of the GM executives that said, you know, the customer isn't always right. They might not always be right, but a lot of times, but every single time you have to listen to them.
Well, they may not be right, but they are the customer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so you want to have that experience good. Now, you have, I think, in your 50-plus dealerships, you have just about every kind of vehicle for sale. Is there, do you have something else on the horizon that you thinking about opening up a new franchise for?
We purchased in the past year Volvo out of Dedham. It used to be Dalzell.
Dalzell, yeah.
And then we have a Lincoln dealership that we purchased directly across the street, and we're building two new dealerships for them in Norwood. They'll be side by side. And those are brands that people thought I was a little bit crazy when I bought them, but I believed in the products. I had an opportunity to see what those companies were coming out with. So I try to take a long-range view of business, and I said, I believe that that Lincoln is going to make a great comeback. I believe that Volvo is going to make a great comeback. Now, this goes back, I don't know, about a year ago, and it's happened. Both of those brands, their sales are increasing by 10-20% a month, And I'm really looking forward to the opening of those two dealerships. And, of course, the Lincoln dealer, the Lexus dealership in Hingham opened up about 3 weeks ago. And it's the second one that I have. The first one, which is a huge Lexus dealership, is down on Route 1. So
yeah, the one on Route 1 looks like it should say MGM Grand on it.
You know? Yeah, I know. That's down in Sharon.
Yeah,
and it's one of the beautiful dealerships yep. really in the country. So yeah,
it is, and you know, with all of this, I mean, your 50 dealerships. It's Labor Day weekend. Good time to buy a car.
It's a great time to buy a car because this is the time of the year where we have to get off of all of our inventory, our 2015s, because the 16s will be here. And, you know, it becomes a challenge because we don't like to have 15 inventory sitting around when the 16s are arriving. So Labor Day weekend is kind of the wrap-up of the season.
Yeah, it really is. We're talking with Herb Chambers, car crazy Herb Chambers. You know, before we let you go, you know, can you give our listeners maybe one tip about car buying? Should they do their homework? Should they see? Do they want to narrow down their choices? Somebody who's out to buy a car these days, what can you tell them?
Well, you know, the internet is the answer, and you know, back before the internet. Usually a person knows what type of car they want. They're either a GM buyer, they're a Ford buyer, they're a Chrysler buyer. So they have to in their mind. They want to own a Ford. And then if they decided that, before even they shopped around, most of the people, they had a brand that they liked. And then they would go to, you know, 5, 6, 7 Ford dealers trying to make sure that they got the best price, get the most for your trade-in, and get the lowest price on buying the new car. Today, you really don't have to do that. You go online, and you can find out what is a great price on a new car. So it kind of makes it easier for the customer. And the advantage that we have is having all of these dealerships. We have people that do cross-brand. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll come in, and they'll turn in their Chevrolet truck for a Ford truck, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Having all of the brands, we can usually give them more for their trade-in than another dealer could that doesn't have that brand, because we can remarket that vehicle at our Chevrolet dealership or at our Ford dealership. Now, that goes for the luxury brands as well. You know, it could be a person turning in a BMW to get an Audi. You know, I have a couple of Audi dealerships, and vice versa. Sometimes people just want to change.
Yep.
So they say, you know, I want to get rid of my Mercedes, and I want to get an Audi. And we can give them more for their Mercedes because I can remarket it. I have 3 Mercedes dealerships in the Boston area. So, and the real critical thing is, first of all, getting the right price in your trade-in, the right price on buying the car, and then buying it from a dealer that has a great reputation, and you can go online and find that too.
Yeah, you really can. And when it comes to, and you sell, you know, a ton of used cars, the last time I remember talking to you, you have almost like a, I'll call it a computer program, but that's probably the wrong word, where you sort of are able to ping inventory sort of around the area and be able to price your cars accordingly, right?
We do that because one of the things that people do not, you know, there's a fear in going to buy an automobile, and that is, the fear, you're going to choose the wrong dealer, they're going to pay too much, one of the two, or maybe both. In our situation is that, and that's on a new car, it becomes even a little bit more frightening when you're buying a used car. Because with a new car, you've got the backup of the manufacturer. The used car, you're kind of on your own. In our company, we give you a 5-day money-back guarantee. It's not a credit. It's a cash check back to you. For any reason, you can bring it back and say, look, it doesn't fit in the garage. I don't like this. My wife doesn't like it. My husband doesn't like it. So I want to return it. And we'll give you your money back. And now that's in the first 5 days. You get another 25 days beyond that you can return the car, and we'll give you the money back towards another car. Now, the pricing on those cars, I'm trying to get to where everybody pays the same price. And the way to do that is to there are computer systems out there that will, as you spoke about, that will tell us what the right price on that car with that mileage, that model, that equipment, within a 15-mile, 100-mile radius, a 300-mile radius. You know, if you're going to go out and you're going to buy a car that's going to be $10,000, you don't want to drive to Dallas, Texas to buy it.
Right.
So you want to find out what the right pricing is in this market and also in the right season. You know, convertibles will be more expensive in the summertime than they would be in the wintertime. The same thing with sports cars. So it will tell us where that price is, the correct price for that car, and not an overprice that we're going to give you an overallowance on your trade-in. Your trade-in has a specific value to it, and we know what that is as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to have it be very transparent that you're getting the right price for the car that you're buying, and that we can give you the most for your trade.
Yeah, and there's no magic in this. Somebody who's offered a way inflated price on their trade-in means that they're not getting a good deal on the price of the car.
Yeah, probably overpaying for the car that you're buying.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes sense. No, it's I've yet to talk to anyone who's ever had a bad experience at any one of your dealerships.
Well, thanks, Sean.
And everybody everybody seems to like it. And you tell when we were chatted back a couple months ago, I really wanted to tell the Herb Chambers story about, here's a 21-year-old guy that, came out of the military, went out, kind of trying to figure out what to do with his life. And as I recall, junior high school education?
High school education.
High school education.
English, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then ended up, A Copy America, and then in the car business, and well recognized all over the country, and have some phenomenal cars, nice to hear the story.
Well, John, thanks for the opportunity to tell it. We love your show, and it's a thrill, it's great to speak with you.
All right. Hey, Herb, have a great Labor Day weekend. Like you said, good weekend to go car shopping. There's deals out there, and it's time to move the 2015 and make room for the 2016s, right?
You're absolutely right, John. Yeah. Thanks for your time.
All right. Take care, Herb.
Okay,
thank you.
We'll see you now.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Herb Chambers, car crazy, car enthusiast, car czar, I don't know. There's a lot of words that go along with it. But, 50-plus dealerships started off. Interesting story. His mother fired him from the bar she inherited, and he didn't last there very long. But 6 months later, or sometime later, he borrowed $500 from her to open up the first copy machine sales and repair company down in Connecticut. And just a great story. Occasionally, I think I've seen him at here and there at different places, and every time he's always very cordial, and it's not like we really know each other, but it's always very nice to talk to, and tells a good story about a guy who, went to high school, never went to college, and I believe he also did the commencement address at the Harvard Business School. And I hope they gave him an honorary doctorate degree or something for doing that. We need to take a break. When we come back, hopefully we'll be talking to you. If you want to give us a call, it's 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. And I haven't picked up the Globe this morning, so I assume I'm in the Boston Globe. I don't know who I'm in the Globe with. Usually I share those pages with somebody. If you happen to pick up the Globe, let me know what's going on in the Globe this morning, too. Our phone number is 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
WROL Boston.
When it comes to your car, AAA is the place for everything automotive. From buying a car to taking care of your vehicle on the road, AAA is the expert you can rely on and trust. If you're researching and buying, AAA Auto Buying Program is a great tool. AAA members receive guaranteed pricing on new and used vehicles and save an average of $3,000 on new cars. When it comes to financing your purchase, look to AAA for competitive low rates. Once your vehicle's on the road, AAA Auto Insurance protects you in the event of a crash with excellent coverage and competitive rates. service. You can even purchase an extended warranty that will help cover you if your vehicle is in need of repair. For repairs or maintenance for your vehicle, AAA has an extensive network of approved auto repair facilities. If your windshield gets damaged, AAA Auto Glass can repair or replace it. And when you really need help on the road, AAA Roadside Assistance is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether you need a flat tire changed, a dead battery jumped, or a tow. So for everything and anything automotive, go to AAA.com/everything auto.
As energy prices go up, your cooling bills can make you extremely hot. Whew. But now there's a way to extinguish the problem. Mitsubishi, or just one room at a time with no ductwork. If you think about it, why pay to cool the whole house when you only use a few rooms? Mitsubishi Electric's advanced tech gives you the most efficient, reliable way to cool or heat while cutting up to 30% off your energy bill versus traditional HVAC. Plus, they filter allergens and are quieter than a human whisper. You can even control them remotely with a smartphone or tablet. They're perfect for remodels, fixing hot and cold spots, or replacing your entire HVAC system.
I'm Mike Francione, owner of Coastal Heating and Air Conditioning in Quincy. We at Coastal have you covered for all your heating, AC, and refrigeration needs. Call Coastal today at 617-770-0636 or visit us on the web at coastalahr.com.
Mitsubishi Electric Cooling and Heating. Live better.
It's hard to believe, but the fall season is upon us, and it won't be long before, well, you know what, starts to fall. So Sullivan Tire and Auto Service is paving the way with an enormous company-wide sale on all tires in stock. Save all September long on thousands of famous tires. Get set for the fall and winter driving season. Buy quality road-gripping snow and all-season tires at the best prices of the year. Sullivan Tire is your full-service maintenance center with over 100 certified master technicians standing by to keep your car running right. We do it all. Factory scheduled service, winterizing, oil changes, exhaust systems, brakes, batteries, belts, wheel alignments, and so much more. For details, visit SullivanTire.com/60years or call 877-592-TIRE.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan of the Sullivan Tire Company. For over 60 years, our family has been servicing New England Motors. Thank you for trusting us with your vehicle and letting us grow alongside your family.
You're listening to The Car Doctor.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Austin, or WROLradio.com. The Sullivan Tire commercial reminded me when Paul Sullivan said, you know, thanks for letting us grow alongside your family for the past 60 years. Sort of interesting. Another success story, you know, his father, you know, started that business, you know, in a one-car garage, and look at them today. So same sort of thing. Hired the right people, had the right ideas, really thought about you need to take care of your customers and treat your customers well, just like Herb Chambers tries to do with all of his. We are sort of in the middle of a car review, and I kind of stopped in the middle, and I think we ended up with the idea that this SL, unlike the first SL I ever drove, actually has cup holders in it. All SL convertibles or hardtop convertibles come standard with front airbags, side airbags that extend to protect the head and thorax, knee airbags, pop-up roll bars that activate in a rollover collision crash. Anti-lock brake stability control, traction control are also standard, as are active headlamps, LED daytime running lights, active head restraints, wet arm windshield wiper blades, so the blades always stay wet so they don't, when you go to put them on, they don't drag against the dry windshield. Attention assistant, which monitors the driver for drowsiness and lights up a coffee cup icon on the dash when it's time for a nap. That hasn't happened to me yet. Who knows? It probably will. Our car also had smart cruise control, so you can set a distance between you and the cars in front of you. Cadillac has a similar system. And adaptive braking, which applies the brakes based on how you're stopping instead of just the way normal brakes work. Backup camera, which most new cars are going to have in the next year or so. And a night vision forward camera, which is pretty impressive. And smart enough to stop the, you know, James Bond enthusiasts out there. You can on with your headlights off and just have the night vision camera on. But driving around at night, it really truly does illuminate the or picks up all the illumination on the roadway with fantastic detail. It is pretty impressive the way it works, and it is it uses the navigation screen to make it work. It's pretty good. Just to let you know, when you start to buy a luxury car like this, the options get pretty expensive. Our car also had a few options in it, and one of them was AMG carbon ceramic braking system. That was a $9,000 option just for the brakes. Platinum white Napa leather seats, that was $3,100. And something I am fascinated by is they call it the Magic Sky Control Roof. And you press a button, and it's a kind of an opaque glass roof, and you press a button and it turns transparent. You press another button and it turns opaque again. So I've seen it in, I guess I've seen it in a display for like windows in office buildings and homes, where you actually push a button and it's almost like you drew a shade down. This does the same thing in the roof of the car. It's pretty fascinating. A driver assistant package, which adds $2,950, which includes blind spot monitor, lane assistance, which that means if you start to go out of the lane, it actually vibrates the steering wheel a little bit to tell you you're doing that. Something I will admit I shut off. I guess I must wander a little bit more or it tells me how bad a driver I really am. On the road, this car handles very well, just a bit of body lean on tight turns and a comfortable ride. It's a performance roadster. You know, I heard somebody say, well, it's not really a sports car. I think it is. I think it's a performance roadster. It can be driven all day. It stays very comfortable. And talk about performance, the 557-horsepower engine brings the car to 60 miles an hour in a little bit over 4 seconds. The bottom line is the SL63 offers outstanding performance, about as elegant an interior as anyone can ask for, and understated styling that doesn't yell, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. Phenomenal car. How much did this car cost? Well, the base price for this car was $148,000. Destination and delivery charge, you come up with, it looks like $174,755. So, and should you care about such a thing, it gets a combined 19 miles per gallon, 25 on the highway, 16 in the city. And by buying this car, you are going to spend about $4,000 more than the average person over a 5-year period. It's going to cost you about $3,000 for gas. Anyway, but not often I get to drive cars like that, you know, different than the Ford Escape I drove last week, kind of a very basic front-wheel drive car, which was also a nice car to drive today. I think our buddy John has been hanging on forever. John, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Woo.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you got old, moved to Florida or something like that.
Well, I'm getting old, that's for sure, which I don't like. Anyway, yeah, I was hoping to talk to Herb Chambers because I have a couple of cars, maybe one or two he might be interested in. I've been paying $100 a month, $50 each to store them, and it makes no sense anymore. 2 years in an 89 Pontiac Bonneville, which is not in bad shape, but I like to see the right person get it who would appreciate it, not run on the ground and throw it into the crusher eventually. Mm. It needs brakes and it needs a power steering and some cosmetics, but other than that, pretty structurally strong. And another one's a 94 Metro, which I put the transmission work into it, and the motor was good, and needs front end work. And I'm the guy also with the 67 T-Bird just hanging on.
Yeah.
Like, let them go to the right people who, you know, aren't worried it will cost too much to fix. You know, that's the kind of person I can't
do
it.
That is important when you're, you know, if you care about what you have, it is, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, give it to somebody who either cares about it or cares about it enough to make sure that they get it to somebody else who wants it, and I don't know that Herb would have would have found a place for it in one of his dealerships, but you never know. Maybe one of our listeners will. So there's somebody out there looking for a Bonneville, which it's a car that just doesn't exist anymore. So
yeah,
you never know.
It's almost Pontiacs. Time will come. Remember, it used to be Pontiacs, and there's one that's still around that's not in bad shape.
Yeah.
Somebody from New York had it and put it up in the lift, and underneath was pretty solid.
Yeah, that's always one of those things that it is just finding the right person.
And I got that 67 T-Bird needs a complete restoration. I mean, Herb liked it. I'm sure it wouldn't be a problem for him if he wanted to restore it. If he liked that type of new felon, so I'm looking for that kind of person. And I like to leave my name and number with your producer.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, but also I've had another problem. I've had a city car, a little electric city car I've talked to you before, and I lost all the papers for it. I'm just mystifying how to register it. Somehow. I don't know how I could do that. They lost the title. They lost all paperwork. I've had it for 12 years.
Was it registered, though?
It was at one time, not with me. I never registered it because I had it in storage so long.
Oh, okay.
I trucked in it from Michigan with American Auto Transporters, and it's just sitting in. It's ready to run, but I can't do anything with it.
That's gonna be tricky because you never registered it. So I guess you would have to start with I don't know how you do this. Because you'd have to start with the vehicle identification number, which on a city car I think is only like 9 digits long.
Yeah.
And see if possibly there's some way that they can they can find the original title, and then it comes
to Michigan, that's where I trucked it in from. The guy was probably dead by now.
But Michigan still has records of the title, so you still should be able to do that. The other thing you might be able to do is there are companies that actually reissue titles out of other states. So if you have if you have the vehicle identification number, you might be able to and look in like the back of Hemmings or one of those companies, or look online for title companies, and you might be able to get a title out of like Arizona or something, even though the car didn't come from Arizona. And then you should be able to reissue a title that way, maybe.
Well, some states don't require a title for so many years.
Right. Massachusetts requires a title for everything, including boats. They changed that. It used to be some states, and I think Rhode Island's one of them, that once a vehicle is more than 20 years old, and may only be 10 years old, they don't require titles. But in Massachusetts, where you live, unfortunately, you're gonna have to have a title on this thing to register it. And I'm willing to bet there's a lot of vehicles kind of in that same situation. And the city car is kind of an interesting car. So the other thing is, maybe somebody will buy it with the idea that they don't really care about registering it. Now, do you want to do, or do you just want to sell it?
Oh, I haven't been on the road. It's just I've had it for over 10 years and done nothing with it, but just let it sit around.
Yeah.
The other
thing is somebody might want to buy it just kind of as a, for want of a better word, an estate vehicle or a vehicle, out in front of a business or something they can still drive around, and they don't really care about if they ever register it. So, there's always that possibility if you want to sell it.
Well, as a matter of fact, there's going to be a city car reunion meeting in St. Louis coming up the 18th, 19th, and 20th. So if you want to go online and find that information, follow me. A bunch of people who actually drive those cars daily, those little cars,
But I guess I would start with, there should be a way to be able to run, you probably have to go to the registry with the vehicle identification number and say, this is a car I bought, a bunch of years ago. Somehow all the paperwork got lost. It was originally registered in Michigan. Can you run the vehicle identification number on it so I can reapply to Michigan to get a title for the vehicle? And the title's going to be you know, the title's going to, you know, hopefully, you know, whatever happened, you'll be able to duplicate the title. But it's going to be tricky at this point.
Now and say, hey, look, what can you do for me? You know,
yeah. Well,
why can't you meet the greatest fucking servant, the people of Massachusetts?
Well, she's brand new, so you never know.
She should have her office open to make an appointment. Look, this is the problem. What can we do? We'll have to take it to court in front of a judge or anything on this matter.
I don't think you have to do that, but I think you have to be able to really, you know, put that documentation together. If not, then you're sort of stuck that you're going to have to be, you know, almost starting from square one with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right, let me do my
thing
with you.
Good. All right, okay. Good enough. Yeah, Marita will get your name and phone number and address or whatever down. While she's doing that, why don't we go talk to Bill? Hey, Bill.
Morning, John.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
I have a question about it's a 2005 Subaru Forester. The oil level, when I check when the engine's cold, is above the hash marks. And when I start the car up and run it for like 2 minutes, below the full mark,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, I'm not sure what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The car does, they had a problem with those cars of leaking oil or burning oil. And if you go on the internet, there's a lot of threads that talk about that. But I don't understand why it's above the full mark when it's cold. You start the car up for a couple of minutes and it's below the full mark.
It sounds like, you know, if you're tell me what the car is again.
Yep, it's a 2005 Subaru Forester.
Hmm.
2.5 liter.
Yeah. And you know, normally on a regular engine, I would say the problem is the oil returns are kind of clogged up, and you know it takes that long for the oil to get to the bottom of the crankcase.
Right.
Now on the flat engine like this,
horizontally opposed.
So could it still be the same thing? Is there still a certain amount of oil that's stuck in the cylinder heads that's taken a while to, you know, drain back into the crankcase, and that's why when you check the oil first thing in the morning it's overfull, and then you run it for a while and then you shut it off and wait a couple minutes and check it again, it's a little underfull? That's the only thing that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, and just to throw something else into the mix. When I change the oil in this car, it almost takes overnight for it to drain down, if you will, which I never experienced that in any other car. So I think it might be peculiar to that particular engine.
It could be. I mean, it certainly could be part of it, I suppose, that it's you know, part of that. Although I can't say I ever experienced that before, but you know that, you know, it could be just that simple, that it is, you know, it just takes a while for the oil. On the other hand, there could be, you know, there could be a certain amount of sludge or something is keeping the oil from fully draining back into the pan. And I'm kind of going back into that direction, but I don't even know if I'm really. If I even believe myself on that one either. So.
Yeah, I've taken really good care of this car. I mean, every 4,000 miles, the oil changes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's not that then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the, you know, there has been, you know, and you use like regular 5W30 oil in it, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, actually, I'll put in 1030 in the summertime.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a regular, and it's a good oil, you know. It's a brand name.
Yeah, no, it could, like you said, it could be nothing more than just kind of a weird characteristic of that engine, that it just takes a little while for the oil to do. It's weird. You said, like, even when you go to change the oil, what it takes for you to get the oil drained out of the car.
Takes overnight. To get a true reading on the dipstick. It takes about 12 hours for that oil to drain down into the sump, which is very. I thought it's very unusual.
Yeah, Yeah, it really is, and there's there's really nothing much you can say about it other than, you know, it's probably just the way it is, and probably again because of being a flat
right.
engine like that, it's just so much. You know, if you stood the car up on one side, it would probably drain out faster.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but yeah, short of that, I'm kind of trying to think back. You know, changing oil and all that, and Subarus, and no shop's ever going to wait forever to
exactly.
wait for the oil to change.
Right.
You just get it good and hot and. Pull the drain plug out and
right.
kind of let it go. And as far as anything peculiar about it, no. I guess you've had it for 10 years now. Keep doing it.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll keep listening. If some of your listeners have any ideas, that own Subarus.
Yeah.
Because I can't figure it out.
Yeah. No. There's really, and while we were talking, I was sort of. Looking to see, if there was any kind of weird Subaru thing, and I don't really see anything, so.
I know they had a lot of problems with head gaskets.
Yeah. Yeah, they did, and it was one of those things that it's almost like once somebody figured out there was a problem with head gaskets, it seemed gaskets got sold for just weepy head gaskets, sometimes just head gaskets will seep a little bit and not
right.
be an issue, but
right.
it seemed like a lot of times at dealerships, at Subaru dealerships, it's like any little seepage around the heads, it's all of a sudden, oh, you need head gaskets,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I checked the oil in this car, and it's like, honey, there's no mixture at all of the antifreeze.
Yeah, no, and most of them weren't antifreeze. Freeze to oil, they were just oil leaking out of the engine, and anybody that ever owned a Volkswagen or a Corvair knows that the heads leak a little bit.
Okay Well, thanks.
Sorry I'm no help.
Okay.
Bill, all right,
you take care.
All right, take care. Bye bye. Now we have another call. If you want to join us, 617-770-3030. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, John.
Hey,
how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, my question is, I bought on July 15th, I bought a Cadillac, a 2010 Cadillac SRX from a secondhand dealer.
Yep.
Had it a little over 30 days. I actually put an extended warranty on it, or an aftermarket warranty.
Yep.
But had it about 40 days when, coming off 93, my son was driving the car, just all of a sudden just shut down. And it would not start. It wouldn't start again. It was towed to an ASC dealer.
Yep.
Where it currently is, and they're trying to locate the problem. But it was something was kind of unique that I hadn't seen before. It appears to be an electrical issue. But on top of the battery on the Cadillac SRX, there is a box full of fuses, and there's a 300 amp fuse on top of that. The 300 amp fuse blew, and they said that's what basically shut the car down.
Well, that would.
Yeah. So they said that they got a replacement fuse, which apparently it was very difficult to get on the dealers around here.
I bet.
But they put the fuse in, hooked it all back up again. The battery's good. The battery's a AAA battery. It looks like a replacement about 2 years ago.
Yep.
But as soon as they hooked it back up, blew the fuse again.
Hmm.
So now they're trying to track the shot. Have you heard of anything in the SRX that might be an indicator of what the problem is?
I haven't, but something that's drawing that kind of, that sounds like a dead short right against the electrical system, almost like a wire that's chafing somewhere or something along those lines. That should be, you would think that big a short would be something that's pretty easy to find. Most of the electrical problems on that car were minor little things, low amperage type problems, not major ones like that. To me, it almost sounds like it could be a issue with, maybe there's a ground wire somewhere that's just not grounding the system out the way it should, and it's kind of firing it backwards, or it's one of those things that now what they have to do is they have to look at that maxi fuse, put a meter on it, and start to see, when you turn the key on, what's drawing this incredible amperage. you know, off that giant maxi fuse, and you know, there you know, I wasn't even aware that the fuse was that heavy on the, you know, I've seen some that were up around 80 or 90 amps, but I hadn't seen any that were up that high. And so that's one of those ones that I think right now the shop has to just try to locate what's drawing that kind of amperage from the system to try to figure out what it is, because that is a you know, that's a, you know, that is some major current draw to cause that, you know, cause that to burn up like that. So that's a big system, and that certainly would certainly cause something to blow a fuse, I would think. Yeah.
Well, the vehicle was in the body shop just shortly before this. They had to replace the front bumper.
Yeah.
Somebody had backed into it with their tow hitch and cracked the front bumper. Do you think there's a possibility that there's a connection between the two?
Yeah, I do. I think it is somewhere, again, I think it's somewhere right off the, you know, right off the battery, you know, ground system that's going to be running all those, you know, there's three or four fuse boxes in that car. So, you know, for all of it in there somewhere, that's where I'm always suspicious of anything that didn't happen from the factory. So I would want to really be looking at all of the electrical systems that could be related to, okay, I had to pull the bumper off the car, I had to pull part of the nose off the car. You know, let's see what we have for fuses in the fuse block and just kind of go from there, because you know, it is something that can be, you know, that could be possibly damaged somehow during the repair, or something that just wasn't hooked up right. So, you know, what I would be doing if I was trying to figure this out, I would be trying to look at the electrical diagram for this, look for that one particular fuse and say, what does this giant fuse do, and what does it feed for current? And then I chase that circuit down from that point to figure out what it is. That's the only way you can really get to some kind of conclusion, you know, from that fuse box, and, you know, and find out what it is, and find out what that, you know, you know, like I said, that giant fuse is. And you know, there's a lot of fuses in this. There's a lot of relays in this, and there's some pretty major, you know, pretty major fuses in this. Like I said, I wasn't aware that there was one that was that high, but I would want to see what the legs of that fuse feed, and then you kind of, at least you're not looking at the whole car, you're just looking at part of the circuit.
Yeah, like on top of that battery, there's a 300, a 200, and then the 4 or 5 25s.
Yeah.
But a 300 is connected to, there's a wire harness that goes from the 300 amp connection directly to the alternator.
Right.
Which is down below under the engine.
Yeah, and that's where I suspect that there may be when they put that bumper back on, maybe they have a section of the wiring harness that's just bouncing around in there that's causing the problem. I'm surprised. You know, the good thing is the fuse was there, and that's the good thing is the fuse blew, you know, rather than have the car catch on fire, which at that kind of amperage it could.
Yeah. All right, and last part of my question on these aftermarket, I have an aftermarket warranty. I don't know if I'm going to have trouble with this. It didn't kick in until 1,000 miles was on the car, and it just barely has 1,000 miles.
Mm.
But have you had any experience with those?
It depends who it is. Some of them are better than others. I mean, even the ones that we sell at AAA, the good thing about ours is you know, occasionally somebody will come over and they'll be like, hey, I think we have a problem. You know, the warranty company doesn't want to support this, or the member says they think something should be covered or not. And they actually come over and they'll ask me once in a while whether I think something should be covered because the warranty company either denied it or didn't. And sometimes I'll say, no, I think definitely the warranty company should agree with that. And, you know, and we can actually overrule the warranty company. Some of the aftermarket warranties, you don't have much luck.
Yeah, this is American Auto Shield, but I was
originally had it. The problem with, like I said, I don't really know that you know, that one, and even like I said, even ours, I kind of, I'll say sometimes, like, I don't know why they're denying that. They really shouldn't. And they can go back to the administrator and say, you know, part of our clause in our contract is we can argue it and get it to be covered. So I would just, at this point, just try it and see what happens. And, you know, and at this point, it isn't like it's a component failure, which is different. If they, you know, if it was an alternator starter, you'd say, oh, yeah, it's pretty black and white. You know, even though it's just barely got 1,000 miles on it, it's black and white. You said it goes into effect here after the, you know, after the dealer warranty ran out on it. You have to cover it, and you pay $100 deductible or whatever it is. But when you're starting to chase down wiring issues like that, it could get a little flaky.
Yeah.
And if it does, I would still go back to the original dealer who had to warranty the car for some time, because this is an issue that started well, it was under warranty. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck. Bye-bye. Bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. We need to take a break and pay some bills. I didn't realize it's getting so close to 10 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, cause I always wanted me one that was long and black.
WROL Boston.
Salem Media Group is inviting all pastors to our annual Pastors Appreciation Luncheon, and this year's keynote speaker is none other than Pastor Jack Graham.
And it's possible that a person can so listen to the lies of Satan, and ultimately he can deceive us, he can distort the truth, so that we begin believing lies. And some of you are caught, and you don't know how to get out.
If you are a pastor, we would like for you to join us on Friday, October 9th, from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Lantana in Randolph.
We're not talking here about passing thoughts, but controlling, captivating ideas and imaginations that do not come from God, but rather their lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God.
Go to WEZE Radio or WROLradio.com and click on the Pastors Appreciation banner to register for this free event.
We need something stronger. We need something better. Hoping that it goes away and thinking positively will not root out the works of the enemy in your life.
Pastors, let us show you how much you are appreciated.
Radio is an exciting profession, and Salem Media Boston is looking for just the right person to be a vital part of our management team. We're seeking a traffic coordinator, someone who's familiar with typical computer software systems. Are you bilingual? That's a plus. Experience is desired but not required. We're looking for a valuable team member. Salem Media Boston is an equal opportunity employer. Please send your resume to patr@salemboston.com. No phone calls, please. We're looking forward to meeting you.
Miss your favorite show?
And you have to have an antidote, but it doesn't exist on earth. It exists in heaven.
That anointing from Christ.
Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Or if you just want to hear it again,
check out our podcast page at WROLradio.com. All your favorite ministries on demand, whenever you want them, day or night, and all for free. Just visit our podcast page at WROLradio.com. Download and enjoy.
You're listening to The Car Doctor.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Let's try to get real quickly to Rick's question of the week. Marita, you said it has like 17 parts and sub-paragraphs, but let's see if we can do it real quick.
Sure. Okay, so he said in terms of, let's see, he saw a young man cut in front of an MBTA bus, and he was wondering and thinking, what is the average stopping distance of, and then in terms of cars, pickup trucks, tow trucks, pretty much MBTA buses, tractor trailers, you name it, fire trucks, utility trucks,
yeah,
and so
yeah,
on.
And it's a good question, because you know it takes longer to stop heavier vehicles. So a car from 60 miles an hour with really good tires on it on a good road surface might stop in as little as 120 feet. That same, you know, that same MBTA bus at 60 miles an hour might take 300 feet. A tow truck might take 200 feet. A tow truck with a car on the back of it might take 250 feet. So it really all depends on the tires, the coefficient of friction that allows the car to stop. So, you know, is the road wet? Is it dry? Does it have sand on it? Whatever the case is. So there's a variety of things that could cause all of the, you know, all of those stopping distances to change. And even motorcycles stop at different stopping distances than cars. Performance cars with sticky tires stop at different distances. So you could very easily say that a heavy duty truck could take hundreds of feet to stop from 60 miles an hour versus a car like a Ford Mustang with good tires on it might stop at 122 feet. So they're all going to be different. It's all based on weight. It's all based on tires. It's all based on the roadway. But there is a huge amount of stopping distance. And that young man was lucky he wasn't run into by the MBTA bus is about all I can say. Hey, I'm willing to bet, because I'm not in the studio, little secret, I'm not in the studio.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. You know, I could be home and, you know, in my
driving a Mercedes.
Yeah, something like that. I could just be in the Mercedes, which would be better than most anything. So.
Exactly.
And that voice, I bet, is Paul Sullivan right there.
Hey, that story reminds me of the day I was almost murdered. You want to hear about that?
You have 2 minutes.
All right, here we go. So it won't take that long. It was when I was very much younger. I was riding in the car. Actually, my dad was driving, and we were coming from our little side street, turning onto a major road in the Boston area. Mm-hmm. And, we're having a little conversation, and he's coming up to the intersection. He says to me, "Any cars coming?" So I look and say, "Nope." And so he starts pulling on. I said, "But there's a big bus coming." I thought he was going to kill me. So that was the day I was almost murdered. I told you it wouldn't be long.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it'll be interesting because I'm going to have to, you know, at the end of my, I usually put a little line about on my podcast, and I'll say, you know, Car Doctor Radio Show, you know, Labor Day weekend, talked to Herb Chambers and told a story about how Paul Sullivan was almost murdered.
There you go. I heard the conversation. Herb's a nice man, isn't he?
He is a very likable guy who, like he said, you know, grew up in Boston, and his mother fired him from his first job after the military.
Yep.
Yeah, but the good thing is they kissed and made up, and she lent him some money to start his business, and now he's a billionaire.
Well, your program is highly informative because I drive that stretch every day to go from my house to my real job every day, and there's this huge construction happening on Route 1 in Norwood, and I didn't know what it was. Now you know. And of course, I have to go past the Taj Mahal of car dealerships in Sharon on the same road. That is a beautiful place.
It really is, and I've joked with them before that, you know, if that doesn't ever work out and, you know, casino gambling gets, you know, that would make an awful